This is Through the Looking Glass with Scott Wheeler on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Hello, I'm Scott Wheeler. Welcome to Through the Looking Glass on TNT Radio. I guess it's been a slow news week this week, so we won't have much to talk about. Just kidding. Just kidding. In fact, we are going to deviate from legal analysis of the raid at Trump's home in Mar-a-Lago, and we're going to go after the media, because if you watch what happened, there's some very suspicious things taking place with regard to what the Democrat Party does and the Democrat Party-controlled Justice Department does and what the media does. And we're going to talk about that. We've got an expert here live in studio with me who's going to answer some questions. But first, about the media response, this is just a sample. There were scads of reports, very similar, in fact, some using the precise same language to describe what happened. This is happens to be a guy named Zach Beauchamp from the Vox news agency. It says, after the news of the FBI raid on former President Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago home broke on Monday night, House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy responded by openly threatening Attorney General Merrick Garland. Well, it's funny what he classifies as a threat. McCarthy actually said, the Department of Justice has reached an intolerable state of weaponized politicization, he said in a statement. Attorney General Garland, preserve your documents and clear your calendar, meaning he's going to have to explain what he's doing. That's called oversight. And the Congress has the right, to, not only the right, the obligation to conduct oversight over the FBI and the Department of Justice. Anyway, so this Vox article goes on. Think about this for a second. Here you have the likely next Speaker of the House claiming without the tiniest shred of evidence that the Justice Department is persecuting a former president. Wow, I wonder where anyone could have gotten that idea. Anybody remember a thing called Crossfire Hurricane that turned out to be a hoax? A hoax that was so ridiculous and absurd on its face, you'd have to be an absolute idiot to believe that it was possible that, in fact, Russia preferred Trump over Hillary Clinton in 2016 after 8 years of the Obama administration, which included Clinton for four of those years, doing remarkable damage to national security by kowtowing to Vladimir Putin. They were stooges for Putin. And we covered that last week, a lot of that last week. But back to the Vox reporting on this. The tiniest shred of persecuting a former president and vowing to use his authority to punish them as a result. So now oversight is punishment. This is remarkable. What's remarkable, though, this isn't one stupid, ignorant Democrat Party hack writing. This is representative of what so much of the media, Dana Milbank from the Washington Post, you had Politico, all writing the same thing. His response to his baseless claim of the politicization of investigative powers is to promise a politicized investigation of his own. Well, anybody hear of the January 6th committee? What is that if not a politicized investigation, for crying out loud? This is unreal. Yet, in addition, you want to talk about threats. Anybody recall Chuck Schumer standing in front of the Supreme Court a couple of years ago saying that the Republican-appointed justices were going to reap the whirlwind? And now we have guys showing up armed at the home of some Supreme Court justices. Nobody in the press corps seems to think that is very unusual at all. In fact, they've been cheering it on. However, any threat of oversight of a Democrat Justice Department is grounds to claim people are being irresponsible and threatening. And McCarthy, going on at Vox, McCarthy was far from alone. Trump, who confirmed the raid in a lengthy statement, called it, quote, an attack by the radical left Democrats who desperately don't want me to run for president in 2024, unquote, an allegation that has set the tone for much of the party in the wake of the dramatic FBI operation. So here it is. Here you have an unprecedented FBI raid on a former president. And based on what we've seen, the evidence that includes scouring the warrant, there was nothing here that hasn't been done by other presidents, taking their documents and including classified documents. We know for a fact Hillary Clinton had classified documents at home, and she wasn't even a president. She was Secretary of State. And then she smashed the evidence. Trump, on the other hand, had welcomed the FBI in to look for whatever it was they needed or whatever it was they were looking for. This is by far the most politicized we've ever seen a Department of Justice in history of the United States. But we're going to talk more about the media's coverage of this publicized politicization of the Justice Department. Today, joining me live in studio is David Bass. He was deputy publisher of the Weekly Standard. He was on the launch team of The Hill and Politico. He is the consummate media insider. And we're going to ask him some questions about the U.S., the Washington, New York media alliance and what's wrong with it. Welcome, David.
Thanks, Scott. Thanks for having me on. Consummate may be a bit of a strong term, but I'll take it for now. Great day to be on radio in Washington.
What you've seen the just gigantic blow up. There are other, including an article in the Epoch Times talking about FBI Director Wray saying that there have been dangerous threats to the FBI since this raid. And yet no one really paid much attention to the dangerous threats when Democrats were in the 2020 election year were bailing out people who had actually attacked the police. No one saw anything wrong with that. But now we're seeing this kind of coverage. How do you respond to that?
I mean, it's pretty simple if you boil it down. The media is not doing what the media is supposed to do, which is to perform traditional journalism with real sources and you know, real ideas. It's blinded by kind of corporate political idiocy. And it's based on one very simple thing: abject, blind hatred of one particular person, and that person is President Donald Trump. And nothing else matters.
I would say I have a different thought process on this. I don't see that Trump is definitely the focus of their ire right now. But you go back for a long period of time, and you know, the conservatives used to call the media liberal. And about 15 years ago, I said that is absolutely wrong. They are not liberal. They're Democrat Party apparatchiks. And so they're not even, they definitely are working to serve corporate interests, and they're all owned by big corporations. But the corporations seem to be seeking favor from the Democrat Party when they are in control of Washington. And Democrats are always in control of Washington. The one time that they really weren't was 2017 to 2021.
That's correct.
Let's start with that premise. Would you say Democrats are always in control? Doesn't matter.
I was going to say no matter what, no matter who's here, ultimately that the liberal leaning Democrat entity, has basically been running this city, if not larger.
Republicans are in fear of the press, aren't they? Because they never get
a fair shake. Now, to use the same term, they know they're not going to get a fair shake. They're not even invited to participate in a lot of the left-leaning media outlets. It's a twisted game right now.
And it's been going this direction for a long time. Some say it started with the election year of Obama's first election in 2008. The press abandoned any standards for fair coverage and went full pro-Obama, and then it's gotten worse since then. Do you see it that way, or is there something more?
Oh, I do. But, you know, I mean, I've been an advisor to certain LEAs, you're aware of that, and law enforcement agencies. And that coverage is even more egregious in my mind, because of my perspective. What's happening to LEAs and police departments, and that is just the worst coverage I've seen of any issue, really, because I'm close to it. And just nothing's the truth. They're leaving the things that should be reported out completely and covering things with color, if you know what I mean. Like, you know, dressing things up to their own wishes.
And when you say LEAs, you mean law enforcement associations and agencies. And the FBI would be included in that.
That's correct.
And yet here we have, last week we had Kevin Brock on the broadcast. He was a former assistant director. And he said the FBI is not corrupt to its core. He said that the leadership of the FBI.
Seventh floor.
In fact, that's precisely the insider term here in Washington. Seventh floor of the FBI has been politicized and corrupted. And to a point where it's very difficult even for people like us to understand what's actually taking place.
Right.
Do you have an opinion on that?
It's absolutely true. So you've got the hardworking agents all over the country, you know, in various field offices and what have you. And you've got this politicized seventh floor, which is where the director's office is. That's why it's called that. I don't know if you just said that. But, I mean, with the raid, I mentioned this earlier. I think it's worthy of repeating. What did the raid cost? That should be a political expenditure. I mean, it really should. I mean, let's call it what it is.
That the raid, the FBI raid at Mar-a-Lago should be a political expenditure. Well, that does raise, since we're critiquing the media, going back to the 2020 election, the media has been characterizing anyone who has criticism about the 2020 election and the way it was conducted as being a conspiracy theorist.
Right.
And we'll get into the past times when Democrats questioned every election that involved a Republican. But for that moment, if you look at the coverage from 2017 to 2020, the 2020 election, the media perseverated on the Russia collusion hoax, which is to say it was a hoax is way too understated, because it was an actual conspiracy. It was a manufactured lie by the Democrat Party, specifically by Hillary Clinton, we can now say, because it's come out in testimony. She manufactured a lie, and the media pretended to believe it, and the FBI investigated it like they believed it. And again, that was the seventh floor. They made that decision. There were rank and file agents who were furious over it. I spoke to many myself. In fact, Kevin Brock, who we had on the show last week, was one of those who were furious over it. And he said, punctuating what I had said, you'd have to be an absolute idiot, so profoundly ignorant and stupid you belong in a padded cell, to think that Russia and Putin preferred Trump over Hillary Clinton. It's an impossible thing. That's what I wrote this in October of 2016. The list of appeasements that Clinton as Secretary of State and Obama as President gave Putin, including turning over a sleeper cell of Russian agents without allowing the FBI to interrogate them. They pulled missile sites out of Poland and the Czech Republic because Putin wanted them out. And Poland and Czech Republic were terrified of Putin invading them like he had just done to South Ossetia and North Georgia. All of those things you had and then you had the hot mic moment in 2012 when Obama said to Medvedev, the premier of Russia, tell Vlad I'll be more flexible after the election. And yet nobody talks about those events and how insane it was to believe that Putin would prefer the unknown Trump, the rabidly independent Trump, over what he knew he would get with Clinton and Obama.
Since you brought me on here to talk about a media angle, let me go back to clarify something I said earlier. When I said we're not getting anything that remotely resembles clear, cogent journalism or reporting, and I mentioned because of corporate and political interests, the corporate interests I'm talking about are the equivalent of the seventh floor at the FBI in the media organizations. It's the guys on the top floor that aren't letting, it's a real good analogy, actually, that letting their reporters and editors and, you know, real journalists do their jobs properly. They're canning down a new case to cover things, you know, in a certain way.
It seems like there's this convergence of two things. Most people in the media are Democrat Party hacks. Most journalists, most of our colleagues are Democrat Party hacks. Yeah. And then you have the corporate interests, which has in the past 35 years migrated away from Republicanism and conservatism and moved directly into the hands of the Democrat Party, perhaps considering that.
Stupidly. I mean, I don't even have time to go into that.
Well, from principle standpoint, yeah, stupidly. But there's another component to this. We'll get into that right after this short timeout. We'll be back with David Bass to talk more about the media's dangerous dalliances with left-wing fascism right after this.
TNT Radio's Michael Parker.
China halts military climate ties with the U.S. and sanctions Pelosi in fury over the Taiwan visit. I thought this was a terrible idea from the get-go on her behalf. I thought it was remarkably arrogant. I didn't think it would help our relationships with China. And I am not a person who's anti-China. I'm not anti-Russia. I respect them both. I think we need more statesmanship than, like, dares. You don't play chicken with countries with nuclear weapons, but Nancy Pelosi thought it'd be great to go over there and roll into Taiwan. I said, they're not going to do anything to Nancy. Listen, they're not going to do anything to her. If they wanted to do something to us, it could be cyber warfare, it could be trade embargoes, they could increase the imports of drugs across the border illegally in the form of fentanyl. There's a lot of things that you could do that do not involve lifting a weapon.
The program and Michael Parker on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Wokeness is infiltrating churches and people don't really know what's hitting them.
Critical race theory assumes that racism is everywhere, it is in everything. These ideologies have crept into the church.
I have grown up with this invisible kind of bag of privilege.
And I know, as a white pastor, I have blind spots.
Reparations fits into the scope of the gospel.
It's a racist worldview. You're swimming in
reason. The social justice warriors say, if you're white, you are racist. And if you say that you are not a racist, then you have to be a white supremacist.
I see within evangelicalism today an attack on the very gospel itself.
Social justice doesn't have to do with justice, it has to do with Marxism.
Wokeness is now the dominant academic paradigm on many university and college campuses.
Many of our Christian universities have fallen prey.
I went to an all-black school, raised in a black context. Everything was oppression. White people are racist, cops can't be trusted, and this world is not for us, it's against us. We felt like the government owed us. I have a family, I have children, and I don't have a job. I was just, it was at the darkest point in my life.
Because I was white, would we have to divorce and separate due to my skin color?
Christianity enables people to find forgiveness and redemption. However, Marxism is completely vindictive.
There is no redeemer and there is no redemption in the religion of anti-racism.
I believe that the evangelical church today is going to have to make a decision. Are we going to submit to the culture, or are we going to remain true to the faith and take the consequences?
How the left is stealing your church. The invasion of the gospel of woke at salemnow.com.
Remember when they told us that the last presidential election was the most secure election in history?
Well, they lied to you and the rest of the world. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
I'm Scott Wheeler. You're listening to Through the Looking Glass on TNT Radio. Now, we went into the break talking about why the motivation, why journalism has gone from being what some would consider liberal to being full-blown Democrat Party apparatchiks, party hacks, basically. And I have, based on my own theories and work and knowledge and working in the press corps here in Washington and New York for decades, that corporations that were once preferred Republicans because of the laissez-faire approach to governing corporations went suddenly realized that they could buy protection from the Democrat Party. Democrats are easier to work with. You write big checks and you get protection from Democrats, anti-corporate, pro-socialist leanings. Then suddenly,
like a mafia show.
Yeah. Well, they are. It is sort of like organized crime. In fact, Peter Schweitzer's book that was in 2012 or 14 came out. It's a concept I'd been writing about for even before that, and wrote a little bit about it when Schweitzer was my editor. But the idea is here: corporations can buy influence with the Democrat Party. They can pay for protection, essentially. Then you have, at the same time, the journalists that work for the networks and newspapers, news outlets that are owned by these corporations are Democrats themselves. And so now all of a sudden, grinding an axe pleases the boss at the same time. They don't have to answer anybody. It's not like when Abe Rosenthal was editor of the New York Times and he cracked a whip and would not allow it. You know, or Jack Welch was CEO of NBC News and of GE, which owned NBC News. You had a different standard then.
I don't want to categorically condemn all journalists.
No, I'm not. We're both journalists. All right. But categorically,
I was just feeling a little bad there. Hyperbole.
Well, yeah, you have a tendency to agree with me a lot of these things, not all, but
on a lot of them.
I'd say you agree with me more.
Okay. I'll give you that one.
No, I'm kidding. But seriously, though, that's part of the difference. You no longer have a press corps. If the press corps were liberal, as many like to say, they would be extremely critical of the Democrat Party being soft on China, for example. But we don't have that. Most people don't remember this, but 1992, probably the third biggest issue in the 92 election was Bill Clinton crusading for human rights in China and accusing Bush of coddling the butchers of Beijing. Anybody remember that phrase? Yeah. Coddling the butchers of Beijing.
Pretty well written.
And immediately after taking office, he began decontrolling strategic weapons technology to communist China, began decontrolling it and allowing communist China to increase its surveillance of its own people using American technology, while simultaneously communist China were pouring millions of dollars into his reelection campaign.
And that's even more overt than the technology transfer issues that, I mean, you're aware of.
Go ahead.
No, that was it. I was just wanted to make it clear that.
Millions in illegal donations. And the press corps went from being basically liberal in 1992 to being Democrat Party operatives during that time, right? Because suddenly they had no interest in human rights in China or what China was doing with the technology. Very little, very few. And I remember specifically, I think it was Bill Sapphire who wrote in the New York Times about their own coverage of the tech transfers. If we're to believe our own front page, we'd have to conclude that the president, meaning Bill Clinton, was committing treason. And so for 8 years of the Clinton presidency, he kowtowed to China. He certified China as a nuclear non-proliferator in 1997, despite the fact China was the third worst nuclear proliferator. He did all of these things while there were millions of dollars coming into his campaign. And yet, where was the press corps? They were very soft on Clinton, right?
We had him on the cover every week at the Weekly Standard.
Weekly Standard being one of the few exceptions.
Really great artwork. You should look it up.
National Review with Jay Nordlinger was the editor there. National Review.
Jay was with us before that.
Yeah. So in those days, you had the conservative media that were sounding the alarms on China. Yeah. And I was chief correspondent of American Investigator Television, made several trips to Asia and to China investigating all this in 96, 97. And yet, and we reported on it. We had videotape of Charlie Tree, the Clinton associate, in China in 1992 before the election, telling Chinese official Bill Clinton wants to do business with you. If that videotape had surfaced in the 92 campaign, no one would have believed it was true because he was so harsh on China. And there's Charlie Tree, his longtime associate, there on his behalf with a letter from Governor Clinton saying, we want to do business with you.
That might be too complex for the average voter, but
It's hard to fathom. And yet
it is.
The media abandoned all criticism of human rights in China. In fact, I was sitting in Hong Kong across the table from Emily Lau immediately after, who was a Hong Kong right before the handover. She was a Hong Kong councilwoman. When Madeleine Albright was confirmed, and she pulls out a statement from Albright's confirmation hearing where she said, that was Clinton's Secretary of State then in 97. She said, relations with China will not be held hostage to any one issue, including human rights or the fate of Hong Kong.
Yeah. Well, the media, I mean, you know, well know, has no interest in pointing out their own hypocrisy or their political, their party's hypocrisy. That's just not good press for them.
Yeah, it's, well, that's
it's not,
true.
Not fun for them either.
And they
because
don't.
It's true.
Yeah, and so you're sort of pointing out what I've been saying. That is that the
I'm glad I can help.
That's why you're here to affirm.
Yes, Johnny.
I do. You're actually much smarter than me, and you know a lot. You know a lot more about this stuff than I do.
Even though I buy lunch. I mean, come on.
Yeah. But the reality is. That's the I've been swimming in this sea for a long time, just as you have, but noticing when you're up close, when you're investigating these things and you say, I have this tape of Charlie Tree, I've never been contacted by anyone else in the press corps. I aired it on a documentary called Trading with the Enemy, how the Clinton administration armed China, interviewed CIA director Jim Woolsey, who was Clinton's handpicked CIA director of Central Intelligence, who said he was not consulted on the tech transfers to China. And that was, you know, he was at that moment still sympathetic to Clinton. He later turned on him, but at that moment was very sympathetic to Clinton and was saying, you know.
I'm still trying to figure out if swimming in the sea was a play on my surname.
Now, yes, I'm next to the bass, swimming in the sea.
Back to the series.
Sea bass. It's you look at this and you notice the migration. It was 92 when the media was screaming bloody murder about it, you know, two and a half years after Tiananmen Square, and they were attacking George H.W. Bush for being soft on China, even though he had enacted the Tiananmen Square sanctions, which Clinton immediately obliterated.
He was an ambassador. He actually had some credentials.
Yeah, he had been an ambassador to China. But yeah, he was attacked for being soft. And they used the fact that he had been the ambassador to China to say that was the reason he was soft on China. And then there it was. Clinton immediately takes office and knocks down all these trade barriers. And he's receiving millions of dollars, and the press treated it as though it were Republicans' fault for bringing it up. It was a shocking period during that time, 93 to 2000. And Republicans, of course, did very little about it, which is why, you know, I came up with the phrase, the corrupt party and the stupid party. The Democrats are the corrupt party, Republicans are the stupid party, because they turn around and allow Democrats to take more money from Wall Street than any Republican ever does. And then the Democrats accuse them of being in the hip pocket of Wall Street. No response from them other than from me. I seem like the lone voice.
Well, they're freed by their lack of a conscience. So makes a little bit of a difference, I think, between the Republicans and the Democrats.
I've been doing most of the talking here for that. I apologize, but
this is quite good.
Let me toss you. So we have this situation where the press corps is dominated by Democrat Party apparatchiks. Even Fox News, you have Howie Kurtz, former Washington Post media critic.
He does the media segment. I mean, Howie's not, I wouldn't say that too, off the deep end.
He, after going to Fox, he became a little bit more.
It happens to people.
You know, a little, yeah. Once you see that there's an entirely different point of view out there, I think people at the Washington Post, the New York Times, are blind to their own bias and are actually kind of pleased that they're able to do whatever they want and say whatever they want without any real critical thinking.
Right. And you know, I witnessed this over the years. I mean, I was on Fox every Sunday for a couple of years, and, you know, actually more than that, on with a lot of people. And the hatred one gets, and I'm talking about myself, from being known as being on Fox is unfathomable. It's unfathomable. You are a nutty right-wing fascist, whatever. And that's what it felt like. And I mean, I've never felt that way about Fox. We know where their politics are, but I think they're legitimately their tagline, fair and balanced.
Yes, totally. When you look at, we have the rest of the media moving the line further and further to the left, and then so anybody in the mainstream would be right wing to them, and that's how they get to. That's why they call Fox News right wing.
Yeah. I mean, what's really sad is I remember maybe 15 years ago, maybe a little bit less than that. I used to have three televisions in my office. I would have CNN on, MSNBC, and Fox. But now, and I do try. I'll flip back and forth. And every time I turn on MSNBC, I literally cringe. Whatever's on there is just so twisted and woke and not anything that would benefit anyone from watching. And that's different. And like, I would say 10 years. And I used to enjoy watching all of them.
There was, you would get a different perspective, but it was all within the tolerance of genuine debate.
Yes.
Now you tune into, I used to be on MSNBC quite a bit. I loved going on and having a spirited argument with Ed Schultz, who's now dead, and or Lawrence O'Donnell, who's now one of their top talents. But
the lack of interest in real debate, as you just said, is shocking, obviously, but there's no more decorum and civil discourse.
Absolutely.
It's all one way from their side. I mean, if these channels were honest, I mean, these stations or whatever, papers, whatever it may be, were honest, you'd have a split, basically editorial. Right, left, let's listen to both sides and make our minds up. Instead of, bam, just one way or the highway.
Now there's only one particular direction in this. And I think about Rachel Maddow one time.
Try not to.
She called me and asked me to come on, and I just produced a documentary about Obama.
Right.
And I did not narrate it. I produced it. Earl Jackson, who's I mentioned this only because it's relevant to the story. He was a former Marine, but also Harvard trained lawyer. And he had been a broadcaster. I'd known him for years. I asked Earl Jackson, who is black, to narrate it. And he had a great voice, did a great job on the narration. I can't remember the name. I think it was like 20, basically it was a critique of the Obama administration's first 2 years in office. And Maddow invites me on the show, looks at the clips from the documentary that she was going to call me racist for producing, realizes Earl Jackson is black and won't be able to do it, cancels me, does two segments on the documentary without showing Earl Jackson, and calling it a racist documentary produced by me.
Well, I'm
Because it was
I'm familiar with the documentary, and there's nothing racist about it.
It was basically critique of all the Democrat policies, right? Because that's what Obama was doing. He actually, yeah. It's like the Democrats.
She's the one that brought up race and made it a racial issue. I mean, she, because of the color of the president, the candidate. I mean, and then it gets, of course, trying to turn it around to something that doesn't even exist.
Just very bizarre. Coming up on another timeout, and once we get past it, we'll have the rest of the broadcast to talk with David Bass, who we mentioned early on, former deputy publisher of the Weekly Standard, who had been involved in the launch of The Hill and the Politico, both very prominent publications here in Washington, D.C. And we'll ask some more questions. We'll try and get him to do some more of the talking in the face of my overwhelming despise of our colleagues.
You haven't been filibustering.
And David knows these people we're talking about well, as do I, but he knows some of them a little better than I do. So we'll get his opinion. Right now we're going to break. We'll be back with our final segment on Through the Looking Glass on TNT Radio.
The midterms and America votes on November 8th.
With his expert analysis and opinion,
this is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
While FBI jackbooted thugs marching through Mar-a-Lago sucked up all the oxygen yesterday, two big primary races were decided. Trump-endorsed former Green Beret Joe Kent got the nod to represent Republicans in November's general election in Washington State's 3rd congressional district after incumbent never-Trumper Jamie Herrera Butler conceded. The district leans heavily Republican, so Joe has a great opportunity to return conservative representation to the people of Washington State. In yesterday's marquee matchup for the gubernatorial nomination in Wisconsin, Trump-endorsed businessman Tim Michaels defeated Mike Pence-endorsed Rebecca Clefish. In this proxy battle between the president and his former vice president, the vice president has yet to win a single race. Mike, maybe it's time to hang it up. Don't run in 2024. Let America first, take America back. From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
How about some good news? There is a cure for hepatitis C. A simple blood test will tell you whether or not you have hepatitis C. More than 9 out of 10 people who receive highly effective treatment are cured and less likely to develop liver cancer or liver complications. One little blood test and you'll have done your part to help eliminate hepatitis C for good. Get tested. Get treated. Get cured. Visit hep.org for more information.
On air and on the app.
I listen on the app.
Stay up to date around the clock.
I listen, therefore I know.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to Through the Looking Glass. I'm Scott Wheeler. I'm here with David Bass joining me in studio. And we're going to put some more questions to him here on TNT Radio. And we kind of went on this bender on how we used to have great relations, even with people in the press corps who disagreed with us.
Correct.
We'd go on their shows, their radio shows, their TV shows, MSNBC, CNBC. I'd debate people. You'd debate people. And it was a really good spirited debate. Not long ago, I asked Dana Milbank, lefty from the Washington Post, to come on and defend an article he had written saying that the right, conservatives, we're preparing for a civil war in the United States. We're going to start a civil war. And I asked him to come on and
start one or preparing for one?
Starting one. The people starting it are
sure there's some people preparing, I mean, across the country, preparing for one.
Yeah, no, he's saying that the coming civil war is being started by the right, by Trump supporters.
Well, I think that's a logical fallacy.
And he would not even, of course it's a fallacy, but I mean, you can look at, well, it's similar to what we opened the show with, the reporting that anybody questioning the FBI's raid at Trump's house is a threat to democracy and dangerous. It's in that same category. They're categorizing anyone who disagrees with them as being a threat.
That would come under the category of real investigative journalism. Why are they here? Was this necessary? You know, let's know as soon as possible what you found.
And in the old days, the media constantly questioned law enforcement. In fact, when you remember, this goes back a long way, but 93, when Clinton was president, the raid at Waco on the Branch Davidians. Yeah. And a Republican congressman referred to the BATF, who that they thought overreacted. Yeah. It's called them jackbooted thugs. And Clinton came out and attacked any criticism of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms.
Because he took responsible for things, believe it or not, he did. And not like, oh, I don't know what they're doing, like we're seeing right now.
Well, actually Reno took responsibility, but the attorney general. But at that time, remember, the Washington Times had a cartoon that was hilarious. It showed Clinton with a headband on, and he was saying, how dare you call those fascist pigs jackbooted thugs? A rollback. The very people who were anti-police, anti-federal authority, were now defending them. And now it's gotten worse. You've got the media, who's supposed to be questioning everything federal authorities do, becoming the guard dogs of federal authorities. Strange. No?
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
You looked stunned and completely puzzled by that remark. But that's really what we have.
You're going to make me openly admit on the radio that I just spaced out?
Oh, okay. So sorry for putting you on the spot, but that is, I know I've been going on these long tirades, and then you never know when I'm going to just suddenly stop and hand the mic to you.
And I also know how to interrupt.
Okay. Feel free to, by the way, and feel free to disagree with anything I say.
Impossible.
But it's impossible. It's true, because my biceps are bigger than your head.
Oh, man. Getting into the last segment. Just got to throw something in there.
Should not have said totally inappropriate remark, but I could say this: you and I have been friends for a long, long time.
Well, I'm scared now.
Of course you are. the bottom line on this is the media going completely, the Democrats politicizing federal law enforcement, and most people have not noticed this, but we saw the Democrats' attack on local police, local sheriff's departments, state police,
3 years
across the street.
Not stopping.
Notice they were never critical of the FBI. The federal police.
They probably just in their small brains didn't put the two in the same basket in any sense.
Well, no, it's because they're controlling the FBI and Capitol. Look how they defended Capitol Police when on the January 6th riots. They're defending the Capitol Police. They're defending federal police, not local police. And the reason for that is, as they start this talk of, right wingers, we saw the attorney general say the biggest, greatest threat to the United States is, parents showing up at school board meetings.
Right.
White racism is this dangerous threat to the national security, and ignoring all other real threats. They were ignoring the attacks on police. More than 75 police, not federal police, but local police, have been killed in the line of duty. Yeah. Some murdered in the line of duty.
Correct.
A lot of that could be attributed to what? The Democrats.
Got a get out of jail free card, basically. It's like, oh, this is popular opinion. This is okay. It's like, because I've worked with, like we said earlier, LEAs and PDs, I've had so many officers across the country, which I never thought would happen. And they didn't believe in the beginning, even up at the higher ranks, because I brought it up. And 3 years ago, I said, people hated the police. Now they have license to do it openly.
Yes.
And that's what's happening. And I actually predicted the amount of resignations we're going to have, and the officers that with inability to do their jobs, crime rate's going to go, the way it's been going. And it's where did we start on that? I'm sorry.
It was the Democrats encouraging hatred of local police.
Oh yeah,
while defending the federal government.
But I was saying, so I was going to cross over into federal too, because And I never thought I'd see this, because Secret Service agents normally keep their things to their opinions to themselves. But one just blatantly told me, and this was because I was talking to a group, and I knew the bicycle shop that the White House Secret Service agents got their bikes from. And I noticed they weren't from there anymore. And one of the officers said to me, one of the agents, he goes, "They hate the police." I just couldn't believe this. I bought all my bikes from the same bike shop, and they're not doing business with them anymore because they said they don't want the contract anymore, from my understanding. That's messed up.
They canceled a contract with the Secret Service because
they hate the police.
They hate the police. Jeez. It is, and a lot of this was born of this myth that or legend created by Democrats that police were killing unarmed black men,
right,
at a very high rate,
right, because they're racist, right?
Because they're racist, and
right?
Yeah, that they were racist, and while simultaneously creating this drumbeat that there is a dangerous white threat within the country, and we hear all the time from, I've never said this publicly, I'm going to say it now, but we heard this constant talk about what, we'd hear African-American fathers say, "I have to have the talk with my son that you could be a target of the police. I have to have the talk." And when you look at these guys who end up getting killed, almost always it's because they're in trouble. They're doing something. They're resisting arrest. Usually they have a handgun.
Same thing with anyone of any color.
Yeah. I know you don't understand this because you came from an erudite family, but I came from what you would consider the other side of the tracks. And I remember getting the same talk, or not the same talk, a different talk in a different context, because white kids got poor white kids who were in trouble with the law, got beat up too. There was police brutality.
That's exactly what I just said.
And here's the talk that was different. If a white kid got beat up or killed by the police, somebody had been in trouble with the law, right, they'd say, "Yeah, he had it coming to him. He'd been in trouble with the law for years." The talk a father or mother, depending, in a poor white family is, if you don't do what the police tell you to do, you're going to get what you deserve.
Correct.
That way, entirely different talk. Obey the police. They're the good guys. And if you resist arrest or you do something to hurt a cop, they're going to take it out on you, and you deserve it.
Well, I mean, there are too many people in the large liberal Democrat side that actually believe in anarchy. And that's a fact. And that sounds like really, really extreme thing to say. But yeah, they want to be able to, their kids, I don't care what age, want to be able to run around, do whatever the hell they want, whether it's breaking laws or whatever, and don't mess with us for doing these little things.
And
that's their belief. It's really anarchistic.
But the belief that the police are out to get them is the real dangerous thing.
Right.
That cops
I was talking about everyone, but yeah.
So the leftists and the Democrats have been capitalizing on this because they've run out of ideas that they can trick people into voting for. So they try to keep minority voters in their camp by making up these fallacies and selling them. And then the media follows suit without ever correcting the record. And that's what's creating a lot of danger and a lot of racial tension in the United States right now. And it's being sold by the Democrats, who always are in charge of this town, and by their media allies, which are, I call them, they're party lickspittles.
An apparatchik.
Apparatchiks, lickspittles. Someone called them bootlickers the other day. But for a long time, probably 15 years, I've been saying they're not liberals in the press corps. They are Democrat Party apparatchiks, because the Democrat Party isn't liberal anymore. And it's a corrupt institution, perhaps the most corrupt institution in the history of Western civilization. And here you have, feel free to disagree.
You can go with it.
But and the press corps is their sentry guard. It's their sentinels. They're watching after the party, and no one is pointing this out. I've just now barely got another reporters to notice and not and stop calling the conservative media, stop calling it the liberal media, because right. it's not liberal. Liberals are abandoning them with nowhere to go. And like the late great Pat Cadell, who were friends of ours, Pat used to say, he was so disgusted with the Democrat Party, he believed that it was such a corrupt institution. He was a lifelong Democrat, worked for Jimmy Carter and George McGovern. And I used to say to him, have you ever considered changing parties? And he said, I couldn't be part of a party that's so stupid,
right.
referring to the Republicans. And he frequently quoted my corrupt party, stupid party comment. Because it's basically true. When you're here and you see it up close, you think, Democrats feel free to raid Trump's home because they know when Republicans get in charge, they would never do anything like that, even though Democrats are corrupt and should be raided. And, you see real Republicans, when you look at, you remember Randy Duke Cunningham,
of course,
former fighter pilot, an ace from Vietnam, went to jail for something that looks like a parking violation compared to the Biden family.
Most things do.
And you look at this is rampant within the Democrat Party, and yet nobody gets indicted. I think the last major significant Democrat that got in trouble was Torricelli from New Jersey. It was the late 90s. And I think the FBI had him pegged so closely, the Clinton administration couldn't help him. But he did do one great.
Well, nothing matters. What I think I opened with, nothing matters when you're blinded by this one singular challenge, which is to destroy President Trump in any way necessary or possible.
Yeah, I know a lot of people think it's about Trump, but
they hate the Republican Party too. But right now they're scared of 2024.
Yeah,
especially with Biden coming in. And nodding that, yeah, I'm going to run. So now they're really scared, because if they can't kill Trump and they don't find anything from Mar-a-Lago, they're going to look even stupider than they already look.
And more corrupt and more political. And people, even especially independents, may wake up to the fact that this is not business as usual. This is a serious and dangerous their approach to, but I wasn't saying it's necessarily Trump. It'd be any Republican,
sure,
who right, is not right. afraid of the corrupt Washington establishment, the ruling class of Washington, right. who stands up to them. They're going to get the same treatment. And Trump kind of isn't part of the ruling class, and I think that's the reason.
I mean, they must be shaking in their boots right now, because they know for a fact they're already in trouble in November. No matter what, the different things they've tried. And now this Mar-a-Lago raid comes up with donut before the November election. They're in for a real surprise.
Well, we'll have to see what actually happens. I don't think the Republicans have had the right approach to this. And as we wind down the hour, what I noticed for 4 years, right now, the media is taking a lot of pleasure in running around. Do you think the 2020 election right. was rigged to all elected Republicans? And instead of having the right response, which is before you can even talk about a rigged election, look at the tens of billions of dollars in corporate in-kind contributions to the Democrat Party was given by the so-called news media while they were selling, amplifying a lie manufactured by the Democrat Party about Russia collusion. That's kind of what I opened with. But for 4 years, they amplified what they had to know was an outright lie about Trump-Russia collusion. You don't even have to talk about ballots in 2020. You could just point to that.
That is correct, sir.
Thank you, Ed McMahon. But just looking at that, why not start with that? Any Republican response to that question ought to lead with, for 4 years, your network, your paper, your whatever, your news, so-called news organization promoted a lie, knowingly promoted a lie, how is that not rigging an election?
Yeah, I mean, correct. And plus, they know that the over-the-top recount election was false. They know that's the one thing they can use that makes the Republicans sound a little off balance, just a little bit, even though there's a lot of facts there. But they know that's the one thing that makes them sound, they can make some sound wacky.
Yeah, and that's what they do. They'll find the wackiest Republican, get them to say something stupid, right, and then they will
run with it.
Run with it and say this represents all Republicans. Well, that about wraps it up here. David Bass, thank you so much for being a guest. You were outstanding, superb.
Thank you, Scott.
And thank you all for joining us here on today's News Talk, Through the Looking Glass. I'm Scott Wheeler.